in the middle of the Gemara, somebody is not here who had a very interesting presentation to make, but I assume he will come in. So I want to go back over just the last the part of the Gemara, the two Lashonos of the Gemara. And while Shua's not here, if he's not here, I'll try to present his particular side. And as it may turn out, this may actually be a Machlokas HaRishonim. The Gemara saw that there was a contradiction between Gonev Chelbo Shechaver of Achalo Shuchai, because he's mischayev in the Gneva with Hagbah, and he's not chayev on the Achila until on the Chelev until he eats it. Yet the Gemara said, if I shoot an arrow, I'm not chayev on the Shabbos until the arrow lands, but in the middle, I'm mischayev when it tears through the silk. So the Gemara came up with two answers to explain the difference. So the question I explained was predicated upon an assumption that if the Avera and the damage take place as one action, the Gemara assumed it should have the same din. And therefore, either you say, you look at what, it doesn't matter that it's one action, you look at which happens first, which happens second, or you regard one action as being one unit of time, and if they overlap, then that's called simultaneity, and you say, come live the Rabbamine. Those are sort of the two ways of looking at it. So the Gemara thought that if you're going to say that the Gonev Chalbo Shechaver is Chayev, because he's Konev Bagvah, and he's not Mischayev until he swallows, so if that's the case, the same thing should be true when it comes to the Chetz. So the Gemara gave two answers. So one answer the Gemara was that Yeshar but it's so what does this mean? So the funny thing is Tosfos gets this immediately. Tosfos in Dibar Maschel Hachanami Neima Hagbah Tzar Chotzahu, he points out with respect to Greira, we will eventually look at this Tosfos. The comment of the Gemara, the distinction is not based upon whether you can do it without this. You can do, for example, the Gemara is going to there is going to have two ways of stealing, Hagbah, and you walk out with it, or Greira. So in that case, the Gemara asked the Kasha from Hagbah Tzar Chotzah. And the Gemara didn't say what? The Gemara didn't say that it's Efshar B'Greira, right? You could do Chotzah without Hagbah because you could just drag it. Why not? It was obvious. What the Ramban and the Ramban asked us a question, and then it sounds like he discovers America. I mean, well, he said some asked a question. I thought it was obvious what Tosa says, which is when the Gemara says Hagbah Tzara Chotzah or Akira Tzara Hanacha, it's not a comment as to what is physically possible. Of course you can do Chotzah without Hagbah. You can do Greira. But you can do, the point of the Gemara when it's is that you cannot have a hanacha halachically without a halacha kakira. So the comment of the Gemara there, when the Gemara said you should say hagbah tzara chotzah, is that when I'm like be an object and I your object and I walk out with it, the only way that hanacha in the Rishus HaRabim can constitute a malacha is because I did a hagbah. Granted, I could have done it in 14 different ways. I could have done a hagbah, I could have done a greira, you know, I could have done all sorts of different ways in mitzias of achieving an akira, but when the Gemara says that hagbah tzorach hanacha, it means that the geneva, it means that the akira is essential for the hanacha, and the way I did akira here was through his hagbah. So I could have done akira differently, but that doesn't really matter, according to that Lashon. So when the Gemara says here that Akira, Yefshar Lanacha below Akira, Hacha Efshar Lachi below Hagbah, it means that one is a halachic requirement for it, and one of them is not a halachic requirement for it. Now, the truth is the Gemara does sort of, is a little bit misleading. Why? Because what does the Gemara say? The Ibai Gachin V'Achil. It sounds like it's talking about a Mitzias. It's a way to do Achila without doing a Hagbah. But that's really not what the Gemara means. The Gemara's point is the fact that you can be Mischayev equally that way as to do a Hagbah shows you that the Hagbah is non-essential, is unnecessary to violate the Avera. And therefore, it's Efshar Lachila below Hagbah. It's Efshar Lachila without the actions that precede it. Where it's not efsher to have a hanocha that violates Shabbos if you didn't have a kira that precedes it. If someone else did the akira, if the akira was before Shabbos, if you did an akira with a totally different purpose and now you're nimblach and so on, as we'll see later, so then it doesn't constitute an akira, and therefore the hanocha is not mechayiv you on Shabbos. And therefore, the akira is an essential part of the hanocha. The way most of the Rishonim formulated Tosos does, and the Ramban, I think, does, the Ra'ah does, is that the malacha begins with the akira and it ends with the hanocha. And if that's your time frame for the malacha, and inside that time frame is the nezek, so that means that it's simultaneous, it's kam lebe d'rabba mine. Yes?
Didn't we say the whole problem with the gachin gachin, you go gachin gachin, is that it hasn't solved the problem?
So again, you can get you gave an answer for that in terms of Tosus says what you say. The alternative is to say, which is what we said yesterday, is that this sugya is rejecting what came before. We're going to talk about that more.
You mentioned this kind of like a physical hagbah. Is just the only thing the most trying to show is that it's a physical hagbah that is unnecessary.
Well, the point is to violate the Isser of Chelev. The Gemara is saying you don't have to go through an act of Hagbah. Right? You don't have to make a kinyan preceding the Achila.
But is the Gemara saying that the Gachin Vachla is the case where it's Hutton?
Yes. Pashtra says yes. That's how I think most Rishonim read it. What the Ra'ah is going to suggest, you're going to look at this, I'm going to have you look at this, right? I have to see if I can get a digital version of it. I don't remember if it's on the Bar Ilan. What the Ra'ah is going to say is that this Lashon is a rejection of the previous Sugya, but the next Lashon, in fact, is incorporating the previous Sugya. And interestingly enough, because he talks about this, it's the same language of Ibai Ladure. Right, we're going to talk about that. Probably, I don't know if we're going to get there today, but I want to actually go through, see if we can go through the Gemara, since many of you have been plowing through, before we come back and discuss everything. So now, what does the second Lashon hold? So here, this is a machlokas between Shu and myself. So I think, and it may be actually a machlokas Harishonim, I think it's a machlokas. I don't know if I have any explicit Rishon of the Ra'ah. Oh, I think says
yeah,
something along the lines of what he's saying. What?
I always had a Rishon.
There you go. Okay. Now, the two possibilities are the following. One possibility is to say that basically, the way I said it yesterday in Shir, is that of course, in terms of define, and the second Lashon says no. The second Lashon says it's not enough that something, well, I said, it's not enough that the beginning of the action is a sine qua non, is an essential component of the malacha of the Aveira. It also has to be that when you do the first action, it has to be that once you do that, it's irrevocable. You can't change things. And therefore, even though the Hagbah marks the beginning of the Malacha in a technical sense for, let's say, general Shabbos purposes, and I'll explain I think I mentioned Nafkamina yesterday. Nonetheless, for the purposes of Kam Leibed Rabamine, we don't, if you could in fact stop the Chilul Shabbos, then it's not called simultaneous. Simultaneity for Kam Leibed Rabamine purposes means that when you step away from the equation, when you are done, when you no longer have control, if in the time now, from that time until the time the Aveira is completed, if in that time you also do Nezek, then you say Kam Leibed Rabamine. In a certain sense, that becomes what is, that in order to make your actions simultaneous, it has to be the actions that have to be simultaneous. If you are in the process of walking with a knife through the Rosh Hasharabim and you tear the Shirayim, you haven't violated Hotzah yet, and since you're able to stop the process by just stopping before you walk Dalat Amos Rosh Hasharabim, if you can stop the process before you've walked Dalat Amos, and you will have torn the silk already, but you haven't violated Shabbos, it means that those two actions are not considered simultaneous anymore. In other words, the simultaneity is only the duration of the malacha or the avera is defined as the time at which, from which, the begin time at which, from which, the malacha is inevitable, at least in terms of your perspective. And since I can still stop the malacha, I just have to stop short of going Dalat Amos. Therefore, it's not simultaneous according to the second lashon, and therefore you would be chayiv to pay for tearing the shirayim if you did it carrying a knife. Shua wants to suggest. And I may let him present his formulation in a moment, but basically what he would like to suggest is that the second Lashon builds on the first Lashon. Of course, it has to be B'shas HaMalacha, but it also has to be at a point where it's irrevocable. Now, he wants to suggest, if I understood correctly, is that no, the first answer, the second answer is not building on the first answer. The second answer says that even if the malacha hasn't begun yet, but if your actions have already been completed and you can't do anything anymore, then that is already considered, you know, simultaneity is determined more in a pure mitzias form, in a pure mitzias form, but subject to the limitation that it's not under your control anymore. Now, I added that, and you may not have said that, but that's, I think, what it boils down to. Let me give you an example. Let's say we have a, should I give the pool ball example?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a ball in pool, okay, and I set up my ball here. Now this is the line between the Rosh HaSarab and the Rosh HaSayachet. Okay, and I go here and I shoot the ball. Okay, now the ball I hit never leaves the Rosh HaSayachet and goes into the Rosh HaSarab, but it hits that ball. My ball stops dead, and that ball goes flat. And under those circumstances, Hotzah has been violated. It's not a. It's basically a Rube Goldberg contraption. That's what we have here. You can make up your own if you want. So really, we have sort of three steps here. Step number one is my pe'ula, what I do to contribute to Masa HaMalacha. Right? I have to do something, otherwise it can't be Malacha. Malacha may happen, but I can't be liable. When does the Malacha begin? Does it begin when I hit my pool ball? I don't. What do you think? That is true. But from the perspective of Malacha, how would you define what is the beginning of the Malacha, Mati?
How do we know this even actually is Hotzah?
How do I know it's Hotzah?
Yeah.
Why would it not be Hotzah?
It's called Grama.
I don't think that's called Grama. You want to say that's called Koach Kocha. Is that, are you, I don't think you Pater on a Shabbos Lagabe that. I think it's a din in Sanhedrin. I think on Shabbos it's probably a Malachas Mosheves, but I could be wrong.
What's the case of someone threw something at a tree and then knocked something down, which knocked something else down? I don't remember whether that was in
Dragon's Malka. Well, actually, is it? Well, I don't remember what they knocked down when he throws a piece out for a government at the Dekel. Yeah, but I don't remember if they talk about. The Gemara there doesn't talk about Koach Kocha, I don't think. Not Koach Kocha. What does it talk about? Hold on, maybe I'm forgetting it. I know where the Gemara is. The Gemara is, I think, in this, right after the Mishnah of the Malachos. Hayman deshada pisa ladikla. No, they didn't talk about Koach there. Amar Papa Hayman deshada pisa ladikla va'asar tamre. He causes dates to shear off. Chayiv shtayim. Achas mishon tolesh v'achas mishum afarek. Ravashi Amar ein derech klishe b'ach ein derech b'ika b'kach. It's a question of shinoi, not a question of Koach. What? Does somebody know of a different Gemara? Hold on. Does somebody know of a different Gemara that deals with the same issue? Was this the Gemara you were aware of thinking about, or no?
I
said Sanhedrin is different. I understand that. So I may be wrong, but I think by Shabbos it doesn't even make sense, because this would be if you wanted to call it a some question of Mimlachas Mal Shabbos.
Isn't there something in Kolpius Fei?
That's
door?
Where the Grumma is, no?
How different are the different?
No, Grumma there is that, let's say I put down a something that's going to cause the fire to go out, but I put it not by the fire. The fire is moving on its own. That's why it's Grumma. But here, I set the ball in motion, so I would think, unless you have a raya against me, I would think that you're chayiv for this malacha, and I would ask, when does the malacha begin?
When the second pool ball breaks the barrier.
When the second pool, well, when it breaks the barrier, because it's gorer, it's grayer, it's on the ground technically, right? If that ball hit it at such an angle that it popped it into the air, then when it left the ground, the akira takes place. When it lands on the other side, the hanacha takes place.
The trick shot pool on ESPN.
I have no such bikias. Okay, I'm limited to football and maybe basketball, but that's all my bikias.
Why is it considered akira when you do it directly?
Why is it not considered
akira?
Why is it considered akira? I understood. Your dialect was not the problem. I didn't understand the question.
Why is it considered akira if you're not doing it directly with your hand?
It doesn't have to. It doesn't. I don't think it has to be with your hand. Right. In other words, if you have a ball, which is normally kicked, so it's mitzdarko
b'kach. I didn't mean exactly with your hand, but it's a secondary reaction.
So that's what they were asking, but I don't think that's a disqualification in Hilchos Shabbos.
Okay.
Right? If you set up a Rube Goldberg contraption machine to do malacha, I don't think that that's... I don't even think the Tzomen Institute would call that grammar. You might call it shinui. You might call it... You know, the only shayla that you can raise here is whether this is a shinui. But if you normally knock a pool ball by hitting another pool ball into it, so then it might not be called a shinui. Okay? So I would argue here, when does the malacha begin? With the akira, which is either if it's rolling on the ground, accepting the Ravid's position that the Ramban quotes, when it leaves the Rishus is the akira, and when it lands and maybe stops in the other Rishus, it's hanacha. Yet the maisa that I did took place long before, but once I hit that ball, and assuming that it's hit fast enough, I can't stop it anymore. So the question would be, what if between my ball hitting that ball, pushing into the Rishus HaRabim, it ran into the recorder and destroyed it? Ran over the recorder and destroyed it. So I would say, based upon what I said before, you would be chayif. Why? Because even though I couldn't stop it, the malacha has not begun yet. So the damage takes place now. A second later, when it hits that ball, the malacha begins. A second later, the ball stops, and the Rosh Hashanah, the malacha has ended. So the Shas HaMalacha, and this time, are totally separate. Whereas Shua is suggesting that no, that for the second Lashon of the Gemara, it makes absolutely no difference what the technical beginning of the malacha is. What really matters is when I pull my hands away. If my action is completed, and I set the system in motion, it doesn't. We look at what happens from the end of my action till the end of the story, and all of that is considered simultaneous. And thus, if damage takes place even before the technical beginning of the malacha, as long as I cannot turn the clock back and stop the malacha, I am going to be potter. That's kama b'drabina. Is that a fair presentation?
According to which
The second lashon. That would be the second. That's how the second lashon differs with the first.
The second lashon.
No, the iboy la dure la matzi mahader la. Right. In other words, we both agree that the first lashon says that you look at what the time
held. According to them, we don't care about the expansion of the time.
We don't care about the first lashon. Cares about technically when does the malacha begin, when does the malacha end, and it doesn't matter whether you could have stopped it in the middle. The shas avera is the beginning till the end of the malacha, regardless of your control. And if the damage takes place within that time frame, you're potter. Whereas the second lashon you want to say holds that the time frame of the actual malacha itself is irrelevant. All that matters is the time frame of your action, the mitzias of your action. But provided that, you have no control over the experiment anymore. You have no control over the situation. So, but as long as you have the ability to pull something back, then it's not considered simultaneous. But if you don't have the ability to pull it back, even if technically speaking the chi of mamon takes place before the malacha even begins, but if the chi of mamon plus the malacha all fits within the same frame of your one action, your actions, because you no longer control it, then you say kama b'drabina, even though technically they don't overlap. Shlayan, Shane, Maga, go ahead.
It sounds a lot like what we what I was trying to propose yesterday, that part versus prerequisite.
No. 1,000 the other shita, that's one. I'm talking about our conversation is
same.
Well, when if you're going to take the same thing for the different shita, then we're definitely arguing at least.
Not
that we're saying the exact opposite things at most.
Yes.
Okay.
Zach.
Isn't what Rashi says?
What? I don't think Rashi is clear.
Once he does the zrika.
No, but Rashi still might require akira. But you can't tell from the Gemara itself. Does it require that the actual chi of mamon take place after the halachic akira or not? Shua is suggesting not.
Well,
the mitzias in this case by the chetz, the mitzias in the chetz is that the akira and his action are one and the same.
Well, I thought that Shua was suggesting that the difference between the lishna kama and lishna basra is that whereas the lishna kama we're dealing with a case where it's one. Chutzah is happening while you do Kriyas Shirayim, and in the second in Mishnah Basra, when you first did the first action, you've done both Chutzah and Kriyas Shirayim at the same exact time because you can't control the outcome of the rest of it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, except the crucial question, Zach,
is whether or not that you would be potter if the your action stopped. In other words, let's say your action stopped before the malacha actually began. There's a time lag, and in that time lag, something happens. It's not the case of, in other words, the case of Zori Chaitz and Karashi Ryan, but according to both of our positions, fits the requirement to come to Rabbi Minei. Because for me, it has to not only when you finished your action, you know, not only did it take place within the framework of when my role ends and the actual malacha is completed, but it even took place within the framework of the malacha. Not just within, in other words, there are three stages potentially. When I finish my maisa, the beginning of the malacha and the end of the malacha. So I'm suggesting that it may be the second lashon only holds within that second time. In other words, the mamon chiyuv mamon has to come within the second time frame. If the chiyuv mamon comes before the malacha has technically begun, before the akira has begun, then you don't say kamei rabbinate. It happens to be the case of zara chaitz v'kar shirayim. The mamon takes place within the second time frame, so you can't really tell from that case. Going back to my pool table case, and you can't tell from Rashi either, because Rashi just says that Hilchach Mishas HaAkira Sofa L'Kral Shirayin, meaning therefore, because you have no control, and therefore, since the malacha has begun, and at that point you have no control, and it's going to tear the Shirayin, it's what you say come out of your name, or because your action is ended, which happens to be the Akira, but not necessarily. So I don't think this Rashi, if anything, would be demonstrating my point, but I don't think he does.
Which is what again?
I'm saying that the malacha has to have, in other words, in order to say simultaneity, the chiyav mamon must come while the malacha is in progress. He's saying that it doesn't matter, even if the malacha's progress has not begun, as long as your action to make that malacha eventually happen has happened already and you can't control it, that's also called simultaneous.
Well, I think Rashi is saying that by the time you do the Akira, you've also done the Kriya Shirayim, which is, even though there's still silk that has not been torn yet, you've done it.
Right. So, but what does that prove? Whose position?
That at the time that you did the Akira, at the time of your action, the results, we consider the results have already been done.
At the time of the Akira.
But at the time of the action, what's the point of the action? The fact that you can't,
Rashi is a lomatzi laduri misha zarek esachet hilchach. What is to be drawn from that? Mishas akira sofa lekrol shirayim.
He's just explaining why he's going kachal at that point. Because at the same moment that you've done akira, you've done kriya shirayim.
I agree, but what? Let's say before you did akira, there was kriya shirayim. That's my question. Rashi's not addressing that.
He's considering the Kriya Shirayim having been done once you've acted. So why
you said once he's acted, but Rashi's language is Mishas Akira. Akira is your action and it's a halachic state.
Well, but what does the halachic state have anything to do with the Kriya Shirayim?
Nothing. That's why it doesn't speak about our point.
No, exactly. The only thing that has to do with the Kriya Shirayim is the action. So how would you pay attention to the Akira?
You can easily define Akira as the beginning of the malacha instead
right.
of the action.
Yeah. You just can't tell from Rashi. Mishas Akira could be either looking at a Matthias perspective or a halachic perspective.
Why would it?
It's easy to understand why to reject. It's easy to understand why I don't want to accept this opinion. No, I'm not saying it doesn't make it wrong. In other words, the argument against his formulation is that the malacha hasn't even started yet, and you've done the damage already, right? Runs over the recorder. Malacha hasn't even started. I know it's inevitable, but it hasn't started.
Why would the damage before? Why would it matter when the malacha starts when it's considered you've done the damage? Meaning.
No, the point is that all Rashi's saying is that Iboy Lamatzi Ladure, it means that as soon as if you're right, I would have said Rashi, again, I don't think you prevent anything from Rashi. Rashi should have said, Hilchach Mishas Zarak Esachetz, Sofa Likro Lo Shirayim. Why does he say Hilchach Mishas Akira, Sofa Likro Lo Shirayim?
The very same action he's doing both things.
In fact, Shua, according to you, why does Rashi even point out the Akira? Point out the Akira. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, I didn't realize that this was something that we had argued about.
Right,
my whole point is that the idea is that it's done in Tchila. I don't think it's necessarily argued. Mr. Zarek's a face of that Mishas Akira, so for the Brother Shirayan.
It should have been Mishas Zrikas Achetz, which happens to be the Shas Akira, I agree. I'm not, I wouldn't go to town on this, as a, but maybe I have a Ksas Rishon who can might be on my side.
I certainly hear, meaning if the whole idea was as simple as Dam Mitzchilaso, I just want to put this out here.
Mm-hmm.
I have phrased the two ideas as one being Dam Mitzchilaso, which gives it a nice phrase, and also in Hemsha Chamaisa. Those are the two opposite extremes. And I think that makes it very simple to keep these Hebrew phrases.
Well, but how do you see Dan Mitchilaso? Mitchilaso means of the Avera.
So I just said Dan Mitchilaso, and now we're having this idea of Dan Mitchilaso because of the Maisa or because of the Avera. So Dan Mitchilaso from the Maisa.
No, but then how's that different than your second formulation?
My second formulation of what? I had said I had wanted to formulate E Efshel Mahader versus E Efshel Hanachat Lo Akira,
right,
as having two different svaras of how Kinlim and Rabinei works.
Okay.
Right, one being Dam Mitzchilaso and one being Hemsha Chamaisa.
But how are those two?
Lishna Kama argue in the way of understanding Kinlim and Rabinei.
Right, no, I understand that. But what's the difference between Hemshech Hamaisa versus Dam Mitzchilaso?
Right, Dam Mitzchilaso was. Do we look, right, I think, at Dean and. But the way that they had said it, something about like retroactive versus. That do we, for Kinlim and Rabinei, do we want to see that there is a full Maisa from start to finish and something else happened in between? And because we're expanding the Maisa to be from the beginning to end, we therefore included both things to be simultaneous. That was one option. Or the other option was that we just look at the starting point, and at the starting point, all these things were going to occur, and therefore the start inherently involved two averos.
Okay, you're that second one I understand. So that second one is the Ba'ila Dure.
Yeah.
Okay, in other words, and Rashi, in a certain sense, sounds like that with one caveat.
That must be the avera that starts.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think Rashi's even
now, whereas the first version, what you said is that you expand the time frame from presumably the beginning of the Malach Avera till the end of the Avera is your time frame.
Yeah. So Dam Mitzchilaso, it's a question of does it have to be the Maisa?
Right. That's what we're arguing about. Right. In other words, when you decide the time frame of which you can say Kamalei Drabinei, is it include the end of your action when you no longer control over it? Or at the end of your action of control, provided that also the Maaseh Avera has begun.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, I'm not going to go to town on Rashi completely, but it is interesting that he chooses to say, you know, the opposite of what you're saying, Zach. No, it's Mishas Akira.
He's just showing how it's Ba'in Te'echon.
If this is Machlokas, meaning this is currently Machlokas, meaning Rabbi Reader and I, and if he really held like what I said, he should have said something different.
Object of a preposition. Go ahead, never mind.
Object of what he said?
Between Rabbi Weider and me.
Between Rabbi Weider.
You have to learn to speak proper English also. Sorry, go ahead.
So, between Rabbi Weider and me.
I don't see why you think Rashi should have said the opposite of what I said.
We're not arguing that we just, and as I may not formulate that way because I'm not sure it matters, but I would say that the time frame that we look at of the things is from the time when you no longer have control until the end. That's all one time, right? That's just a different way of saying it. It's the same thing as your second formulation. But the question is, what is the, is it, and as when I say the end of my action, right? The end of my action, the question is, and the truth is, even the way I formulate really is more l'shitasi, right? You're formulating l'shitascha, right? In other words, and the funny thing is that Rashi sounds a little like you're saying. In other words, from the time you shoot the arrow,
yeah,
it's as if you've torn the shirain already.
Yeah.
Except for that what he chooses to put in is Elkel Bishas Akira.
Why would that have any bearing on the Kriya Shirain?
What his point is that one action, when I set the system in motion and I walk away and no longer control, that's all one action. Right. If you want to see it as one extended time frame and it's all the same time, or you want to move everything up to now, that everything that's in the future going to happen has happened right now. Either way, right? So that's what his suggestion is. And Rashi certainly sounds like even the latter suggestion. But I'm raising the following question. It's very nice that my actions have ended, but if in reality the Nezek takes place now, and only seconds later does the Malacha even begin, I have no control over it, granted. But if the Malacha hasn't even begun, can you really call that simultaneous? That's the question. The point is that Rashi establishes this idea that everything that's going to happen for my actions is almost as if it's happened already right now. But Rashi says,
before he said the Lishna Kala, he's talking about how it's all one time period. During, between Akira Hanocha is the Malacha Rotzah, and that's when Kriyas Yarim took place. Whereas opposed to now he's disagreeing with that. He's saying now we're talking about right now, as soon as you do the Akira, because it's the action, so for the Kriyas Yarim, and therefore at that time you've already done everything.
You know, but you have to understand in opposition to the first Lashon, and the opposite to the first Lashon, despite the fact that the Malacha has started, if it's not so for the Kriyas Yarim, because, and to do the Malacha, you can stop. That's the point. It's in contrast to the first one. In the first one, it's not considered simultaneous because one of them is not inevitable.
Well,
when you tear the Shirayin...
This is the Machlok is between the two Lishmas.
Correct. But so you, the fact that Rashi says it's all that happens now, it's not to distinguish it from something that we view it as one long action. It's to say that when it's inevitable, it's all simultaneous. When I can stop the thing in the middle and not both actions won't happen, that's not called simultaneous. That's the only reason why Rashi says that. My comment about being medayik from Rashi, more in accordance with my idea, not my formulation, but my principle, is that Rashi should have said, according to you, Misha Zarek es achetz, sofa l'kora l'shiron. He says, Misha Zarek Hilkach, Mishas Akira Sofa Lekora Lashiran. Rashi adds in the fact that this is uses the term Akira. He could have just said this Rikas Achetz. Right? But if it's the Akira, that's the halachic aspect of this. It happens to be, I'm not going to bring absolute right for Rashi,
why
it happens to be that Zrikas Achetz and
why does Rashi care that from the time you've done the Akira,
because if it weren't, it's then the fact that they happen in one action doesn't make them simultaneous. It's only because I no longer have control over it.
It's not because it's Akira that is so fully curly shrine. It's because it's a Maisa. Because
just think about this in a very Balabatish way for a moment. Okay? We haven't been doing that for a while. Okay, think about it like this. If you want to talk about, you understand, it's a very simple perspective. When I shoot the arrow, why people will say it was all happened at the same time. Right? Why? Because I don't have control over it. But if you see me walking like a madman, carrying a spear, running through the Shirayim, and then carries it 4 amas, right? Everybody understands that it's not exactly one action, because I could have stopped in the middle. So the first Lashon says, I don't care. I look at the Malacha that was actually done. The second Lashon says, no, I look at your control over the actions, despite the fact that the duration of the Malacha contained within it, the Nezek, I don't care. If you could have stopped, it's really like two separate actions. First you tore Shirayim, then you finish the Malacha. So that's what Rashi's saying, that according to the second Lashon, it's precisely because I don't have control over it that we say that from when I shoot it...
Actually, it would be the opposite. When he's running like the madman, he's chayiv, since it's done mitzchilaso, when he started doing the Akira, that's when he started doing chayiv, and the chayiv Misa started then. It was only chal, and you had a full chiyuv at the end. But meaning, and then later...
That doesn't make sense, because if you said that, then why if you throw it, should it be different?
Why if I throw it...
Even more so, if you're going to tell me that an action that... If you're going to tell me that an action that I could have stopped, an action that I could have stopped...
The whole point is that the idea is that do all the things that happen towards the end, do they all inherently have to be involved in the first action as it began?
Right.
Right, so according to the case by the Chetz, all of the ripping through the Shirayim was inherently part of the beginning.
Right.
And therefore, at the beginning, we can mechayev you for all these things.
Right.
But by the case of where you're running, or the case where you're walking with the knife, at the beginning of the time, we can separate the idea of the Aveira that you're going to do of Shabbos and the Mamon that you're doing. We can separate those two because you could stop it. Therefore, inherently, we can't go back and define what you have done.
See, but
you're still going to be done with chilasa.
But I find that to be strange, because you're going to tell me that an action that you can't stop, the sof, is drawn to the tchila, right? And the tchila is machayev you. But you're going to tell me the action that you could stop, and it's only because you chose to go on and complete it. You're telling me in that case,
you're saying the one that you can stop is the Shabbos.
Correct. That's the one you can stop.
And you can't. By the knife case, you can stop either. Can't
you? But then you would have done either malacha or nezek. The key is that when I'm walking the knife through the Shirayim, if I stop right after tearing the Shirayim, I haven't gone Dalet Amos.
Also true.
That's the case of the Gemara, is that I violate, and the point is that I could have stopped after the knife went through the Shirayim.
Which one is the purpose of the Gemara that which we could have stopped?
No, because you, but you can...
The way you read the Gemara was because you could have stopped both of them per se, doesn't mean neither of them was inherently in the beginning.
You could say, I'm happy to say neither's at the beginning, but the point is that then they must inhere when each one is no longer unstoppable. The Shirayim is unstoppable when you tear it, and the Havar Dalet Amos is unstoppable when you finish walking Dalet Amos. I'm okay with that. Whereas when you have no control anymore, everything relates to the beginning.
Because I feel like the definition of tam mitzchilas is now being changed a bit once you're...
No, in the case of Zara...
It's not tefillah anymore.
In the case, but the point is, in the case of Zara,
yeah.
When it's, once it's not in your hands, everything relates to that moment.
Because there's only been one action.
Right. Whereas when you could stop, perhaps then only when you can't stop is the action completed.
And therefore, perhaps we can split up all the actions in a way of speaking.
Right.
That's one action. That's another action because you keep on you can keep
right.
dividing us. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll even though I'm not going to say Rashi is beferish. Rashi sounds a little bit like you do require an akira. In other words, you need both. You need both. That it's uncontrollable, and the actual nezek has to take place after the malacha began. But just because the actual nezek took place after the malacha began doesn't mean it's simultaneous. It has to be that I can't stop the malacha. If I can finish the damage but stop the malacha, then they're considered two separate actions. That's according to the Lishna Basra. The Lishna Kama only cares about what actually happened. In fact, you might even, I don't know if you could look that way, in other words, the Lishna, whichever formation, Lishna Kama is looking backwards. The Lishna Basra is really looking forwards. Adin.
So question on it might be that.
Well, I'm sorry, Alex. Did you have a question?
Okay. It was from a while ago. So
I'm sorry.
I assume this is probably more relevant right now. Maybe I'll.
Okay.
So it sounds like Shua, you're sorry saying that really it might be that you like deny these categories existing, but the tchilat. Aveira and Sofa Aveira like are not categories that play into your Sfar, but so
this,
what
for the Sfar of Dan Mitzchilasa that's one of the
other that's only in the second Lashon as if you're Dan Mitzchilasa
second Lashon yes okay so say I flipped your phrases in
meaning because you're 100% right for the first Lashon that's
yeah,
exactly what that's
yeah,
all
so,
I care about
so I'm curious so, let's say taking the pool ball cases as an example of where it's the actions are really separable. What happens if after, it might be that the Matthias is wrong, but let's say, so you hit the pool ball, it rolls into the Shasar Abim, you're Chayav at the moment, it breaks the barrier, and then I assume you wouldn't be Chayav for an addition, if it rolls an additional less than 4 Amos. So say after after the end of the Malacha has happened, then you do Nezek, but it's still, you couldn't, it's still, would you still consider it retroactive for Kimlay purposes? Because
what was the case?
You can't, that the Nezek happens after the Sof HaMalacha.
The Nezek happens after the Sof HaMalacha, but it was still from the original Maisa.
Still from the original Maisa.
So why is that any different than the case he brought of it where it happened before the Maisa?
Before the Maisa, then you can.
This one actually might be even easier because there's a few people who have the formulation of, as long as he's Chayav the Misa and this occurred afterwards, it almost has a, might even be easier in that case than the case that Rebbe described. Rebbe described was you did the Nezek and then
the Malacha began.
You could stretch that and say that we consider the beginning of the, I guess.
Both of them would go back to the same action, presumably according to the Sfarah. And it's even better to say he was already on his way to the gallows and then to the Nezek. That might be even easier to.
But that's not a real,
within
the confines of the case itself.
But it seems like some way that I think that this idea is a Dhamma Tchilasa, that somehow the inevitable actions all go back, therefore it's simultaneous when he started the action.
I mean, I do very much see what I think it's saying right now. I think,
you think they would not agree with this case, or is this case a question of this?
I mean, I think the case is like.
Well, I want to hear. I get a little stuck on the details here.
How far is your action? I'm just curious because it seems that it's a beginning without any actual end.
The actual end is what he would say is the end of the physical action. And it's when that ball stops. The truth is, you're not technically, you haven't completed the malacha until the ball stops because it's not a hanacha. It's not a hanacha. Right?
Even if you're go rare?
What's that?
Even if you're go rare, it still requires hanacha?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me this way. I don't know about go rare, but I know if you're rolling it. I don't want to get into that right now. If you're rolling something, it's not a hanacha until it stops. When you're go rare, the problem is when you're go rare, you're still continuing to pull. So that's an interesting question. But if it's not your koach, if you roll a ball onto a hill in the Rosh Hashanah, it goes Dalet Amos. But in theory, if it didn't go up and stop for a moment, instead, let's say it went on a curve like a skateboarder. Okay. Then you and it came back within Dalet Amos, I believe you're Potter, because it never had a Hanacha. Never Hanacha called him. So leaving aside the Gorer case, if I roll the ball into the Rosh HaSarabim, and before it stops rolling, a lightning bolt comes out of heaven and strikes that ball and incinerates it, then you're going to be patur. It may rest in peace, but it didn't have a hanacha.
So then the borders of simultaneity are almost not they're non-legalistic. It's just when your action stops.
I think on the front end by this malacha. The malacha is only over when everything stops, but the malacha might not begin when things start. Just happens to be that way.
No, yeah, I know. I agree with that, but
so you there. I don't think there is such a case as to what I understand conceptually we describe. I'm not sure that it exists.
Okay.
Well, we still deal with it conceptually.
When I find things that don't exist, I rather not, unless they have a further application. And I want to. So let me just comment. Okay. We're going to get. I don't want to touch upon. I've already hinted to that now. Part of this machlokas is going to relate to how this Gemara relates to the previous sugya. I think that probably most Rishonim are going to read this as unrelated to the previous sugya, or rejecting the assumption of the previous sugya. But the Ra'ah actually wants to say, and we're not going to do this today.
Is it previous which sugya do you mean?
The Truma sugya. The Ra'ah wants to say that this Lashon of, if it's Ilo Matzi Ladure, that means it's all considered one act. So if somebody sticks it into your throat, you have to work it out. Someone puts it in a position where you can no longer take it out, get it out, even if the Nezek hasn't happened. How does it go? Even if you're not chayiv until later, if you can't get it out and the Nezek happens first, it's all one action. Conceptually, that's what the Ra'ah says. We'll have to work it out in the sugya itself. But his idea is that once it's lomatzi, the Gemara is saying here that no, if I can control it, then that's no kam lebi the rabbi. It's two separate actions. It's only when I can't control it that we say that. All right, we'll come back to the Ra'ah.
My point is just that the ef shel mahader lishna goes like the Gemara beforehand, and those things can work together. And the
correct.
Here is moving away from the from
correct.
The
right.
Not that we're totally rejecting it, but one half of this machlokas agrees with the Gemara before, and one half disagrees.
This disagrees. So there are a couple other points that I wanted to make about this, which I thought was very interesting. One, I mentioned asked you to look at the Gemara and Shabbos. I know that you've been very busy in this Gemara, but the Gemara and Shabbos daf kuf beis amen alf. The Mishnah says the following. You throw a ball on Shabbos in the Rosh HaSarabim, and then, oops, it's Shabbos, and you don't have a string attached to the ball, so you can't pull it back. All right? So if the stones that the onlookers were throwing didn't manage to knock the ball off course and back into your Dalet Amos, so the ball now goes Dalet Amos. Now the Mishnah says, without telling you what the din is, it says, klata acher, if another person grabbed it out of the air, or klata kelev, if a dog jumped and grabbed it out of the air, oshinisrafa, or the lightning bolt came down and struck it, pater. So the question is, it's very strange. What do you mean? If that's the case, why are you only pater if you remembered? What difference does it make? Even if you didn't remember, if I throw an object in the Rosh HaSarabim with the full intent of, with forgetting it Shabbos, I'm a shogeg, and a lightning bolt comes down and incinerates the ball, I'm putter. Why? Because the malacha never happened. There was no hanacha. Just I got lucky. So that's what the Gemara's kasha is. The Gemara has asked the question differently because the implication is that you're only putter because it didn't have hanacha. But had it had a hanacha, the Gemara says hanacha, you'd be chayiv. So the Gemara asked that for the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said zeh klal kol chay mechatos enam chayavan ad she tchilasan vesofan shgaga. The beginning and end must be a shkaga. Tchilasan shkaga v'sofan zadon. Tchilasan zadon v'sofan shkaga. Peturin achete tchilasan v'sofan shkaga. So one issue, by the way, the Gemara, I think, does not... Right, the Gemara does address at the end, is the middle can be b'mezid. As if I throw the ball, I throw it really far, and then I realize, oops, it's Shabbos, and then I get distracted, I'm thinking about, and I forget it's Shabbos again, and now the thing lands, so I'm chay v'chatas. Because that's chilasa myself on shkaga. But The point is that if it landed, if it didn't land, I'm putting no matter what. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara suggests initially that it's dealing with the only time it has to be tichlasan v'sofan shkaga is when you throw an object that still has a string attached to it. They call it lechno misno. But if you threw an object, that had no strings attached, so then it doesn't matter if you remember your pater. So then the Gemara says, that's wrong. If you still have a string attached, it's not called Havara. As long as part of the object is still with you, you haven't violated any Malacha. So then the Gemara says, as a comment, so then Rava says finally, okay, you know what? It's dealing with, the Seifa is dealing with a case of Ma'avir. The only time in which you have to be tilasa myself on shkaga, okay, this is the same thing as lechno misna, the same kind of a teretz conceptually, but it avoids the technical problem of having strings attached. If you're carrying something in the Rishus HaRabim, you carry it to Alad Amos, when you start carrying and when you finish carrying, you have to be shoging. If you remember at the end, or you remembered at the beginning of the malacha, but you were but then you forgot, then you're not chayiv. So then the Gemara says that's against the Mishnah, says Zehaklal, it's a universal rule. So Rava finally says that there are really two cases in the Mishnah, and he gets around the problem. He rereads the Mishnah. He says that if you throw it and then you remember, or if you throw it and you didn't remember but a dog ate it, you're potter. So it really rereads the Mishnah. So if you think about what Rava, what the Havamina of the Gemara is and what the Maskana of the Gemara was, what was the Havamina of Rava when he said Ma'avir, and what was the Maskana? Forget the textual question here. Conceptually speaking, what was Rava's Havamina? Why would you say that when you're Ma'avir, Chayfetz, Dalet, Amos, Pshus, Harab, you have to be Shkaga, Tchila, Vesofo, but if you throw the object, you only have to be Shkaga, B'tchila? Well, no, it's a question of Matzi Ladori. Not it's exactly the two Lashonos in our Gemara. In other words, when you're if you're Ma'avir the object,
yeah,
rather than throwing it, so then you have to be Shkaga Tchila V'Sof.
Because
we look at both the beginning and the end of the action, because you could have stopped it in the middle.
Because by Ladori, we're going to have to worry about the entire action.
Correct. Yeah. In other words, we don't treat it as all one, and as we look at each part individually. Whereas once I throw the object, it's literally and figuratively no longer in my hands, so we don't really care what happens later. Right? The bottom line is, what did I do? I started, and again, you can ask the very same question. Is it essential that the Akira I be a shogeg at? Or let's say my Rube Goldberg contraption here. Right? So in this Gemara, putting aside, not picking your formulation or my formulation, the Havamin of the Gemara was like the Lishna Basra here. The maskan of the Gemara is it doesn't matter, even if it's impossible to pull back, it's still the same thing. It's still, you're still considered relating to both the beginning and the ending of the action. You don't say that once at the beginning, once I no longer have control, whatever happens in the end is if it's happened now and I'm a shogeg already. Which, why do I think this is mildly useful? Why is it mildly useful? Because it could answer, you have to ask yourself a question, why does the Gemara here, going on a little bit, why does the Gemara here in the subsequent Shaka Vitaria not care about the second teretz? It's only concerned about the first teretz. Right? The kasha that they ask on the Brice of Ganav, if in fact you were to adopt the second Lashon, the Kintas disappears. You don't need to make funny of Kintas. Right? Why don't you just say, the second Lashon obviously is correct.
Bringing back in our Gemara.
Now, I don't know if this is the answer to the question, but it's interesting that the distinction that our Gemara draws in the second Lashon between a malacha that's done from A to B, it's all part of the malacha, but there's a difference between whether or not you can stop in the middle, you pull it back, or you can't pull it back, is rejected by the Gemara in Hazarik. Right? The Gemara in Hazarik says it doesn't matter that I no longer have control of the object. I threw it, I'm a shogeg at the time I throw it, and there's nothing I can do anymore. It's happening anyway. If I have, if I remember, I'm potter. Right? Because I'm not shogeg throughout the malacha. The havamin of the Gemara was, I'm only shogeg throughout the malacha. I'm only not shogeg throughout the malacha when each part of the malacha is separable. When I did A, but I could stop. If I carried it this far, I carried it to Amos, the Akira's already taken place, but the bottom line is I can stop right here and not violate the malacha. And since I now I remember that it's Shabbos, it's not shogeg throughout the malacha. Whereas, again, in the Havamina, when I threw the object, once I threw it, I was shogeg. When I threw it, I was shogeg. And what happens afterwards, we don't care. Because the physical maisa that happens later is all relates back to the original action. It's as if it's rested already, and right now I'm shogeg. So that distinction, which is, I think, exactly the distinction between these two Lashonos, is the Havamina is like the Lishna Basra of Rava. The Havamina of Rava is like the Lishna Basra in the Gemara here, but the Maskana of Rava is like the Lishna Kama, which makes it interesting because, you know, I'm more struck by the fact that I didn't see yet any of the Rishonim who actually connected the two, but I think the connection is obvious. Yes, Danny, you had a question. Okay. Fine. I think that's, for the moment, sufficient. We're going to come back and when we take a look at some of the Rishonim, but I want to still try to get through the Gemara. Okay. So now the Gemara elaborates on this. A lot of interesting stuff. Gufa. Who is reading for me? Your Chavrusa is not here. And who was reading yesterday? Who read nicely? Alex, did you read yesterday?
No,
it was a few days ago. My memory's going. Somebody on this side was reading. But Yadin, can I impose upon you? Gufa. I wonder how many, if there's another place in Shas where there are two gufas on one page.
My suggestion is that they haven't as much to do with one another. This one has as much to do with previous sugya as previous gufa has to do with previous sugya.
But do you want me to search that?
Very clever. You don't have to. Okay.
No, I thought that.
You know how to do the search. Just search for the word gufa. And then do a combined result. If you see the number reduce, you'll know.
Yeah.
More than one, because you know this one. Okay.
That was a big challenge against my position. And now I realize that if this group has the same position, then same connection.
I'll tell you why it's not quite the same. Because the previous presentation rejects the entire, without the Ra'oz reading, rejects in its entirety the Sugya before. This doesn't. This just goes down one path.
Well, this is, that depends on,
I think it's, if it's not asking on both Lashonas, it's certainly asking on one Lashon.
No, I think it's asking on either Lashon.
What? You think it's asking on either Lashon?
Neither. This is the point I was trying to make and say to you yesterday. It depends. Like, again, this is a we haven't really fleshed out so far. We only fleshed out Ibai Masil Hadura. We didn't really flesh out we didn't really flesh out
Akira Tzerachonaha? I thought I
Yeah, sure.
I think I explained that sufficiently. That one we agreed upon doesn't require great explanation. It says that the malacha began.
Yesterday you told me I had to wait until today to dispute that. So.
Okay, but now you're wrong. So no, I'm kidding. I think the presentation is pretty straightforward. That the malacha begins anything that's a part of the malacha in the way you do it, and I think the Rishonim will make that very clear in this next sugya. And it's pretty posh.
I think that
the Gemara initially started out by saying Akira Tzarech Hanacha, thinking that was a Metzias definition, and then it says Efshar La Hanacha below Akira. And that means that you can't have Halachic Hanacha by definition without an Akira that precedes it.
Where do you see the word Halachic in there? And I know the word Halachic, but yes, I'm saying like that.
How is it different than how is it impossible? Again, what does it mean that it's Efshar La Hanacha below Akira?
It's impossible for me to place something down in one place without having picked it up in another place first.
No, but someone else could have done it. That was yesterday.
Right. Someone else could do it for you.
I mean,
so you can have your Hanacha even though he did the Akira.
And we'd all be Pater on Shabbos.
You can't have Hanacha without Akira. You did both.
No, I think the key. No, you can't just say you can't have a chiyav of Shabbos on Hanacha without Akira. That's the point. That's the whole point in this context.
I think that's less material because if you again like reviewing it along very reviewing the entire. Let me backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Explain my point. So Yeshal Hanach below Akira. The way I wanted, the way Adin and I think wanted to take it on Thursday, was, and I mean, you'll apologize for misrepresenting you.
I think I already threw you under the bus when you were in the bathroom.
Okay. So in this case, I guess I'm going it alone. Yeshel Hanafa below Akira. It relates to Hagbahat Sorech. It relates to Hagbahat Sorech Achila in the following way. That since it's possible for since it would be physically possible for me to have put the food in my mouth without having lifted it up, there can be no the Shaskiyub does not extend from that moment.
Okay.
So, like, if the concern were that, like, if the concern were that someone else could have picked it up, right? If in some way the food had to be picked up for me to put it in my mouth, then I think that Yashol HaNachabla Akira would have applied here anyway.
It would have applied in that case.
Right.
You want to argue, what you're basically trying to claim is that this sugya that says Efsha la kira la nacha b'la akira means in mitzias,
yes.
But the next sugya assumes in halacha, and they're not related to each other, right? The next sugya is clear; it's a halachic statement because otherwise the Rishonim's kash about ibay garla comes to the fore. So basically, you want to create a machlokas between two consecutive sugyas without any textual evidence that the first sugya is different than the second sugya.
No, I think that the statement of Efsha la nacha b'la akira is, like, it is at simplest level a statement about Messias. I don't think it's got anything to do with.
But wouldn't the simpler thing to have said that?
What you're defining is simpler.
But by the way, you realize that if what you're doing is correct on some level, you're going to then, the way Zach's pointed out in Tosis, you're going to end up drawing this sugya in line with the previous sugya.
That's Tosis.
I said with what you pointed out in Tosis.
I think Rashi.
I don't know if
Rashi
was like.
Well,
Shai
knows
no
Nope.
No.
I mean, it's clear from Tosis' Kasha, I'm not sure if you haven't seen yet.
No, I think that wasn't that.
Which Kasha?
The Dibar Yochanan, the whole idea with the Akinyan. He assumes when Rashi says that Lamatan Mishoshitwachim, Rachel, Batim Mishoshitwachim, Lamad Bahi, is a statement about Akinyan. I don't think it's a statement about Akinyan at all. It's a statement about the Maisa. You've not done that Maisa of Hagbah. You can do this, you can eat without hagbah. Therefore, when you do hagbah, the action, not the maisa kinyan.
Hold on, I have to go, I've been through Atosis once, but not well enough, not after all discussion, so God, I have to hold off on that for the moment. But what if you're going to do that, what you're going to more or less draw, I think, so you, we have three sugyas here, according to your claims. Truma, this in but first Gufa 1 and Gufa 2. I believe what you're doing is then going to make Gufa 1 and the Truma 1 in consonance with one another.
Gufa 1 and Truma 1.
And Truma, in consonance with one.
Truma and Gufa 2 would go together.
Truma and Gufa 1 he's going to end up putting together by doing that, and Gufa 2 is going to contradict the Gufa 1.
How would I wind up putting together Gufa 1 and Truma?
Yeah.
So because when you take the halachic mitzvah out and you start to talk about purely in terms of mitzvahs, now you have removed the problem. Okay, but so you don't you're just deciding where you want to shift allegiances. That's all.
No, because I mean, I'm doing that based on the fact that I think Yeshua Hanafa Bala Akira doesn't. Like, I don't think. I think it's more compelling to say that that's about Messias than about the halakha definition.
You're saying by definition you can't have something come to rest if it wasn't uprooted from a place.
Yes.
Okay.
The bar knew it's Newton.
And also, that also creates a better parallel with
reverse Newton.
So for sure, she doesn't say that way.
I think that also creates a better parallel.
Rashi and She'akira Tzerach Hanacha already explains what the Maskana is, the Gemara is. Umeahi Shaita Aschalala Malacha. He's already sort of.
Fine.
Rashi said, okay, and then I'm just.
Because that action is an action of Malacha.
No, because it's. Now
you're doing the exact opposite of what you did last time.
No, what's that?
When someone uses a Malacha word, he really means the Maisa. Now you're saying someone says Malacha word. The mice word, he really means the malacha.
I mean,
no,
in the situation that we're talking about,
this is exactly
the exact
when someone says Malacha, they don't really
it's not someone, it's Rashi, because Rashi means them as the same thing. Because in this case, they are the same exact thing. It is a Maisa, it is a halachic thing.
Well,
whereas Tosu said, what?
Zach is saying
he also says Akira, he means both the Akira in terms of it being halacha, Akira, and Akira in terms of it being a Maisa.
All these halachic terms, he really means.
If someone had used the term Shasriu, they would really be helping me out here. I haven't seen anyone who says that.
Okay, so
right,
I'm going to...
The other textual advantage of my position, I think, is that it parallels really, really well with Yibon Yimazi
Lahadira. I think Shaskiv is used actually in the Truma Gemara, if you want to find a Shaskiv phrase.
Excellent.
Because that, and also to point out, because it's not consistent with what you're saying, like, you'd want it to be consistent, no?
No,
want it only by the Truma?
I mean, I think that if Truma and Gufa, as we were pointing out, I think the Truma and Gufa 1 were consistent, that would work much better for my position. But no, so I think that it winds up paralleling really well with Ibrahim Masala Hadura. So what you have is Yeshallah Nahabal Akira. So you view the Sha'askri, you define the Sha'askri by the end of it. And by based on the end of it.
No, that's not how we define. You're defining
right.
Something else, I'm sorry.
So if we say Yeshallah Nahabal Akira, I'm looking at the Sha'askri as starting from the first moment. That was necessary to make the end possible.
Physically necessary.
And if I'm talking about Ibati Bahila Hadira, I'm taking the Shaskir and I'm standing at the other end of it. And I'm saying, okay, at what point does what I'm doing necessitate the end?
I'm sure I understand that.
Yeah, that's what she said. I think I understand a little better now than on Thursday. It's a question of is it perspective or retrospective? I understand what you're saying. The EF Shar Hanacha Bala Akira is saying that is retrospective. The real Chiyuv is the Hanacha. So everything that was required to get there is considered part of. We can put in the Parsha Kimlai. Whereas the second the Lomasi Lahadura is at what point looking forward. Can nothing change?
Precisely. I agree wholeheartedly with that.
But they're both
mostly because we came up with that.
And more you, but I have to cover my bases here. But I think he's right that so they're both dealing with the same. They're both really dealing with how we view a continuum of time. It's just a question of. Do we view it as things that are necessary to get to the end, or things that the beginning necessitate?
I somehow feel I'm speaking a different language than until you're speaking.
Yeah, this is why I was trying to.
Get I don't know if there's an alchemy, but.
Well, that's where I get hung up. Is where do you, how exactly do you see the difference? Whether you attach everything to the end or attach everything to the beginning.
I think the Gemara is an alchemy. The Gemara offers an alchemy.
I know, but how do you see that? What's the difference? If it's all attached at the end, or all attached to the beginning, it's the same thing. It's all at the same time.
What's all at the same time?
Who cares which, you know, if things began at 11, things began at 2. It sounds like yours ended at 2. It sounds like you're saying to me, do we look at as everything happened at 11, or do we look as everything happened at 2?
No.
What difference is that? Well, that's what I thought you said.
No, I mean, the point, like, okay, so I'm standing at 11 o'clock.
We like to say 2 and 3.
We could say
so,
2.
So it's like, I don't know.
I'm standing at 2 o'clock. I don't necessarily know what's going to happen at 3 o'clock. Whereas if I'm standing at 3 o'clock, I know that something had to happen at 2 o'clock.
Had to happen.
Something had to have
happened. Something happened at 2 o'clock.
Right, but not only did it happen, based on the events at 3 o'clock, if I want the events at 3 o'clock to remain constant, which given like our understanding of causality must be, then something that would have to have happened at 2, something had to happen at 2 o'clock to create the current course of events at 3. Whereas if I'm standing at 2 o'clock and the events at 3 o'clock are yet murky,
Right,
so I don't know. I can't. So that's what I mean by prospective.
I understand that, but I still don't understand why that produces any nafkamina.
I mean, the knife case. I'm standing at 2 o'clock, and I start running through a shuk with a knife. I don't know what's going to happen. If I'm standing at 3 o'clock with the knife on the other end of the shuk, and I see like holes in all of the garments between like 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, then I know I must have run through the shuk with a knife.
That view says, I basically don't care what happened in the past. Oh, I should say, I don't care when happened in the past. It's all here now, so... Right?
What
could have... In other words, someone could have torn the Shirayim yesterday. Someone could have... Erev Shabbos, someone torn a Blachana, but I'm standing here and I find that there's a knife and Shirayim torn. I don't understand.
Precisely.
Yeah, I know, but if they tore it from Erev Shabbos, you know... And they, at a time, they couldn't have done malacha.
Right. Here is step five. It must
well,
appear,
you know,
therefore, every Mamanu's case is a Kinnah Rabbeinu case. At the end of his life, he died, which might have been Misvedei Shemayim. Therefore, he shouldn't pay anything from from his...
That's not a good reductio ad absurdum. That's not a good reductio ad absurdum, because, like, obviously, like, for something... Right, I'm not referring to the fact that the current course of events exists from 3. I'm saying that the course of events changed from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
So I'm just...
Therefore, part of your definition requires also 2 o'clock. And that the reason why we, for some reason, have the cutoff point 2 o'clock in this specific space, it has a little to do with really because you're looking at the whole thing altogether. Because you don't have a beginning point, you lose it. So you're talking about beginning point and end point both being taken into consideration. We end up receiving back to the idea of Hamshach HaMaisa.
But you want to make it halachic, so we're still kind of the same.
What?
You want to make that about halachic Hamshach HaMaisa. So we still have the same.
Well, I'm actually not. I've not decided whether I want to say that Hemshech Ma'isa is halachic.
Why haven't you said that? That's exciting.
I've not decided whether,
because I care about that a lot more than I care about the exact definition of prospective and retrospective.
For both E.F. Shar Mahadir and E.F. Shar Hanachalo Akira, I'm still a little stuck about wondering whether this is a Metzias thing or a halachic thing of halachic status and Metzias status, which is how you read the Gemara previously. How you want to say halachic was like.
The original Havamin is the Metzias. It's just the Metzias. It was one action. The Gemara says no. One of them is essential for the other. And then the Maskana is that the way I want to read it is that it's essential, and it only counts the parts that are essential for the Malacha. And provided that you don't have the control to stop one of them in the middle.
Yes, the way I'm used to, I've never distinguish between Metzias things and just Metzias to like.
I think the third textual advantage to the approach that says Yev Sharhana Lo Akira is practical as opposed to halachic is it makes the Hava Mina be much more sensible. In other words, the approach that Yev Sharhana Lo Akira is a halachic definition of you can't have halachic hanacha without halachic akira would mean that the first question was that would mean that the Gemara's question about Hagbahat Sorech Achila is basically either was incomprehensible or that something dramatic changed between the Havamina and the Maskana.
Why do we need actually a Havamina that you that,
why do we need
that
to strongly
you
validate that?
Without picking something up?
Why do we need to validate the Havamina so strongly?
I don't feel that the gap. I don't think that's such a large gap that it doesn't make sense to go from one to the other.
I mean, so
in fact, it's precisely because the Gemara changed the formulation of the two. The verse of Akira Tzarachanacha sounded like. It sounded more like what you want to suggest the maskana is in the first lashon, Akira Tzarech Hanacha, that in order to have Hanacha, you need an Akira.
I'm saying that there's a smaller gap between the Havamina and the maskana.
I know, but I don't see any gap between the Havamina and the maskana. I think the Havamina was that, in other words, you'll say it wasn't necessary, even though that's the way it was. In other words, the Havamina, certainly I agree, is a question of Akira Tzarech Hanacha. All right. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
If X is saying that Y is halachically impossible without the halachic X, then the entire question of Hagbahat Sorech Achila would be coming from a different place than where the Gemara is answering.
So look, I think that the I honestly intuitively think that you're skating on thin ice. In other words, I see the way I present the Havamina Maskana are both plausible svaras, and I understand why the Gemara rejects one. The Havamina is that basically this is what you did. It didn't have to have been that way, but this is what you did. This is the way you did things.
It's hard to read.
The Maskana is just because physically you need to do so, therefore what? Therefore, Aschala, therefore it's considered simultaneous? No, if you state, in other words, the whole point is we want to make the avera simultaneous, or you want to make the action simultaneous, and you want to take a hybrid between the two. You want to say, no, the part of the action that's physically necessary, even though it's not halachically part of the action, is considered, I don't know, it just doesn't seem, when you talk about Akira and Hanacha, I don't think so. I hear what you're saying. I can't disprove what you're saying. I think most of the Rishonim don't, probably none of the Rishonim read it that way.
I'm still looking for one.
Okay.
I fully acknowledge this.
I think
you find a Rishonim,
Okay. Either that or find a time machine and go back in time and you'll call yourself a Rishon. Okay. Fine. Gufa!
Oh, wow. Gufa.
Yeah, Din thought he was almost off the hook.
I'm a Rabbi Avi, and Zori Trace, and Tiget Arba, the Sova, the Kar Shirai, and the Chato Patur, Shakira Torah Hanachari. Native Rabbi Yuri Barabai, and born in Kisu Shabbat Chayo, Chikon Chay, and Mela Koyim Shevo de Yisr Svila. I am the Gar of Yotze, the Gar of Yotze, Patur, Shari Yisr Shabbat, the Gneva by Nikalachar.
Okay, so let's first, what does the Braisa say? It says that if you steal an object on Shabbos, you're chayiv. Why? And the assumption is when you steal something, you go into somebody's house, you take the object, you leave somebody's house holding the object. The assumption is that somebody's house is a Rosh HaSayachin. That's reasonable. The assumption is that outside their house is a Rosh HaSarabim, which is not unreasonable. It doesn't have to be, but not unreasonable. And therefore, you're mischayev on the geneva when you pick. You're chayev to pay when you pick the object up, but you're only potter from paying. You're only chayev on Shabbos and you carry it out. But the geneva and the chilul Shabbos don't happen at the same time. But whereas if you drag the purse on the floor outside, so when does the geneva take place? The Gemara assumes right now. And the details will get worked out, because really the Gemara, in principle, ends right after the first answer. The rest of it are just, after the question, in fact, the rest of it are just details. And they're important details, and they open up lots of other sugyas, but fundamentally, it's really the question that's the ikar here, and the Gemara's answer, it, various kinds of details. So when you drag something out, when is the Shas HaGeneva?
It sounds here like it's simultaneous with the...
Well, it certainly sounds like it's simultaneous when you... It can only happen when you drag it in the Rosh HaSarabim.
Wouldn't you need like a Kinyan Chatzer or something? Why would it be...
Well, you can have a Kinyan Chatzer.
Well, eventually you might.
I know, but you have it before then.
Why, presumably, when you hit the Rosh HaSarabim, then you would kona it.
That's the assumption. In other words, that Greira is not an acceptable form of Kinyan in the Rosh HaSayachat. How you kone it? It is a Mashiach.
Oh, but it has to be into the Rosh
HaRabim. Mashiach is not kone in someone else's Roshos. Hagbah is kone in someone else's Roshos. So therefore, one from the time that I take it out until the time I have stopped the Mashiach, so I'm doing Mashiach in the Rosh HaRabim, and therefore, and when I stop the Mashiach is completed, and the Hotzah is completed. It has a Hanacha. That the interesting question is, presumably, firstly, I assume that Mashiach obviously doesn't require an Akira, because otherwise there was no Akira here. It only is when you left for Shuyas, but you were still dragging. And the only question you can ask me is, does Mashiach require a Hanacha? Let's say I'm dragging the object, I'm pulling the object. When am I kona? When I stop moving it, or from the time that I moved it, you know, already moved it any distance? I presume the answer is it's from when I moved it any distance, but in our case it's not a problem, because when does the Hotzah start? As soon as it crosses the line into the Shas HaRabim. When does the Hotzah end? When I stop pulling it. I have to stop. And the Kinyan took place at the first Mashiach and the Shas HaRabim. So it's basically contained within the Akira and the Hanacha. Okay, so that's why it is simultaneous. Okay, so the Gemara's question was that if you hold, so we understand the latter case. We do understand. The Gemara work out details in it. And where were you motzi the object to? But those are details. But the real question is on the first part, which is, if in fact when I pick this object up and I walk out into the Rosh HaSarabim, when does the malacha begin? Zach? When I pick this up and I carry it out, I steal the glasses and I walk into Shabbat with it, when does the malacha begin? No! When I pick it up. I pick it up and I walk out. The Akira is when I pick it up. I could pick it up here, I could pick it up there, I could pick it up here. But when I pick it up, wherever I pick it up in the Shasechin, that is called the Akira. That's not disputed. Where is the Hanacha? When I stop in the Rosh HaSarabim. When does the Geneva take place? When I pick it up, right? The same time that the Malacha is beginning, the Geneva takes place. Because Hagbah is Kone Rosh HaSayachat of somebody else. So, the Gemara says, if you are correct, that Akira, Tzorach, and that Yersha Lakira Belo Hanacha, if that is correct, so then I don't understand. In this case, you should also be Potter, because the Malacha began when I was Magbiyat, and the Malacha ended when I stopped in Rosh Hashanah, and the Geneva took place when I was Magbiyat, so they're simultaneous. Right? It doesn't. You don't say that the Malacha began when I pick this up and start walking out. It doesn't start right before I walk into the Shusharab, or as I walk into the Shusharab. The Malacha began when I started, when I picked up the object to start walking with it. It's the best way of formulating it. Ezra Shema?
In the case of Gara, you're Kona, the object, when you leave the Shusharab, but you're not over Shabbos until you stop dragging the object?
Correct.
Then couldn't you drag back into the Shusharab and not be over Shabbos? I thought you were kind of, as soon as you leave Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos.
No, you have to have Hanacha though.
But isn't that why it's buying Kacha when you're Megara Yotzin, Megara Yotzin? Because at the same exact time you put into Rosh Hashanah, you've been over Shabbos.
Yeah, but now
we're
thinking
about Hanacha
Shabbos.
If
I thought it counts as
Hanacha
that it's on the ground. That
Hanacha
Shabbos
requires Hanacha then.
The only Gemara says Shereisu Shabbos Uganei Ba'an Kechad. It doesn't have to be Mam. In other words, the potential to be Mechal Shabbos comes as soon as you do pull into Rosh Hashanah. But technically speaking, you have to do a Hanacha. Does Rashi even say?
I thought Hanacha was automatic because it's on the
ground. Rashi doesn't really elaborate.
No,
you have to stop its motion. But that's an interesting.
But we're trying to reject the Avin here, aren't we? This mission is trying to reject the Avin, saying that it's got to be Mamish.
Hold on, one second. All right, I'm sorry. Megara Biyotze, the Malacha Ba'akira is when you start dragging it, but you're not Kohen at all because you don't have Agbab Rosh Hashanah. Right. So there's nothing in the Gemara that indicates otherwise. In other words, it's not, you're not Chayav and Shabbos the moment you take it out. But your Malacha began when you started to be Gorer, your Malacha ended when you stopped. But the Kenyan only was when it already made it into the Rosh Hashanah.
You have to be in order to be
Gorer. I'm sorry, again?
Because there are two ways of being...
Correct. In the Rosh Hashanah Yachad, you have to do Hagbah. In the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you could do either. But for the moment, let's assume that he just continued to be Gora. And he stopped.
Okay.
His question is really... I mean, he was basically asking, is there Ibai Lehavdurity here? Which I think a lot of people ask on this Gemara. But he's saying, well, couldn't I just go right back and I could not
have
Misa?
Right.
Well, also...
The answer is yes, it's true. But the Gemara's...
A lot of ways to ask the same question. This does not work with the Ibai Lehavdurity spot.
Correct. Right.
Yeah. Now we're saying that the safe of this.
Well, that's interesting, Wayman, because if he's Megara Viyotze, it's always Ibai. In both cases, it's Ibai Lehavdurity, right? So really, actually, it's interesting because the Seifa is going to be Akasha then against the Lishna Basra. No?
Seifa is going to be Akasha. I'm finding it difficult when you use
Gorer. Gorer.
No, when you use Lishna Kam and Lishna Basra.
Lishna Kam against Yefshar versus Adure. Yefshar is the first answer. Second answer is Ibai Matzil Adure.
Still, if you can use.
Fine, okay. So the Gemara thought that the Chiyuv by Magbiya Vahotzi was Akasha against the first. Was Kasha against Yefsha La, right, Yefsha La La Hanacha below Akira. But the second version,
the Gorer,
which says that you're Potter in that case,
seems to be a question on
Yefsha. Would be Akasha on the second version.
So,
but the Gemara never explores that.
Both of them would be a question on Yefsha La Mahadra, because both of them you can stop at some point.
No, but in the first one, you're chayiv, so it makes sense. That's why.
True. Either way, it doesn't work out with the...
In other words, I just realized now, because of his question...
Both sides, you can say, one because it's chayiv, and then why don't we just answer that? Or this one's
Potter.
Question on it.
Yeah, that's very sharp. I didn't realize... I never thought about that. In other words, the Rishonim focus on the first one, but they just take Graver for granted. But I'm pretty sure that that's the din. If you carry something in the Shusha Rabbim, you don't stop and you make a U-turn. Not a stop and turn, but a U-turn. And stopping and turning would be a temporary stop. Making a U-turn and come back into your house, you'd be Potter. But you would have been Kona. He's correct. You would have been Kona. If I am correct about the nature of the Kenyan, that and it's clear, Mashiach doesn't require Haskalah. That's clear. And I don't think it requires it being completed either.
Well, Well, you can also walk into a Rosh HaYachid, you can walk straight through from Rosh HaYachid.
That's more complicated, because Mavir, Rosh HaYachid, Rosh HaYachid, Derech, Rosh HaRabim might be Chayef. So I don't want to, I just want to keep it simple. We're not doing Shabbos Hotah now, so let's just... So that's complicated. That's complicated. So let's leave that aside for the moment. But maybe in a Hanami. Fine, I don't care. That would be good too.
Well, then wouldn't it have been easier for the Gemara to give that suggestion?
Well, the Gemara doesn't ask this Kasha.
But when it does ask, how can you have both Isser Shabbos and Isser Geneva at the same time?
Yeah.
It has to come up with Tzidei Rishis Rabbim. Should have just said, fine. From Rishis Rabbim.
But if you're Pater, you know, but then you're Pater on Shabbos.
Without
a Hanach. Without a Hanach in the Rosh Hashanah. I don't remember.
Without a Hanach in the Rosh Hashanah.
No, the problem is if you do, for the moment, keep it into your Rosh Hashanah. Don't take it to another one. I'm not sure what to do with that. It might also be a part that I'm not a Zorek. There's a dini, a Zorek Mishasayach Shusham Emsa Yochayev, and the question is, what's the svara behind that? So I don't want to get. For the moment, it suffices to say that if I carry the object out here into the Rosh Hasharabim, and then I make a U-turn and carry it right back into my Rosh Hashanah, I did Mashiach on the Rosh Hasharabim, but I never violated the Malach of Hotzah. So the question is, why do we say it's simultaneous if after I make the Kenyan Geneva by being Moshech in the Rosh Hasharabim, I could turn around without stopping into the Rosh Hashayachid? Unless you say there that, no, Bistama, you can't say that you're not Kona, that you're going to look at the Sof Mashiach.
No, I've never heard of
that. I find that hard to believe.
When I've seen Mashiach, like, I never got the impression of starting, I got the impression of ending. You just walk the camel.
You demonstrate Bailus.
Yeah.
You demonstrate Bailus. Who cares if you walk, march back
and forth? Is it so exciting? Demonstrating Bailus, or is it the fact that, wow.
No, I'm not a Chakir. I just think that's what that's the Svara of, that all Kinyanim demonstrate Bailus.
Yes, every time that you establish one Svara, meaning the way you're going to give the Shir, they're going to give one Svara, but you can also look
back. So now you're going to say...
If I rewrite the transcript,
no,
a lot of different Chakirs are making in Shir today.
I'm just going to say that it could be that if you the argument might be that if you walk it back into the same guy's Rishus, then it shows the Lefafre there never was any Bailus. You were walking his dog.
Why isn't it making it back anyway?
What?
When you walk it back into the other guy's...
Because if you don't, if it's your, he has to have an. You mean,
but
that wouldn't help.
I'm just trying to understand why can't.
Probably, if I'm controlling it and it's in your chatzah, I'm guessing Kenyan chatzah doesn't work.
One question we've always been asking: there's also an Indian of being mahadir. We're wondering if you go into someone's house, steal something, pick it up,
right?
And have I don't really want to steal it. Put it back down. Right, are you
If you put it back in the place you took it from, and it's the kind there's a Mishnah at the end of Bava Kama that if it's an inanimate object, the answer is probably you're not chayiv.
And a certain amount of when does the Geneva really set in a certain way? Couldn't you always say that there's also Yibari Lahaduri with the Geneva as well, that when you pick it up and put it down, that wouldn't be anything? If I had exactly with this case, exactly similar to what he's asking.
Let me qualify. Let me ask. I'm going to invoke something here that came up in a different discussion, which is Daniel and Yadin asked me a very good question. They said, let's say I steal your object and I'm potter because I'm a gar of a yotze. So does that mean that I now have your object, it's extant, and I don't have to return it? So there's a sugi in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Bezim and Aleph, in one of the Kamei B'Rabbini sugis, that says the following. Rav says that if you enter someone's house, if you are Baba Machteres, and you steal kelim, that you potter from tashlumin because you mischayv in afsha. And Rava says that which Rav said is mistaber if you broke the kelim, but if the kelim are be'en, it makes absolutely no sense. The idea that granted, there's no chiyuv tashlumin, but just because there's no chiyuv tashlumin, doesn't mean I'm not obligated to return the object be'en.
That's also a case.
So one second. So we I didn't check, but the letter
that Gemara ends up having, I know it's hard to hear this for me, but I don't think that Gemara ends up having a Svara impact. I think the point of that Gemara is Einachinami Misvara, you can come up with lumdus in the way to say that he's positive, but the way it works out is he still has his object, you should return it.
No, the question is, so you want to say lumdus there.
No, I want to say, don't say lumdus.
There are two dinim in Hachzaras HaGaneh, in Heshivas HaGzela. One of them is that when the object is still be'en, no shinoi exists in the world, the original owner still has ownership over it, and you have to give it back. You're like a bal pikadon once you come to do tshuva. And you're obligated to do so. Whereas if you damage the object, or it's totally destroyed, then the object no longer exists, and it's just a chiv of tashlumen. So
agrees that if you have it behind, you'd have to return behind before you get touch limit.
What's that? Correct. And as you cannot say, well, I'll steal your object, then I'll just give you money for it, as long as the object
so
is extant.
There
are two tracks within Hashavas Agzela.
Yeah.
And they are nafka minis in other instances. In other words, if I steal a barrel from you, the Gemara Baba Kama Dach Samachem et Aleph, if I steal a barrel from you, and it's worth one zuz, and then it appreciates in value where it's worth four zuz, and then I damage that barrel, how much do I have to pay? So the Gemara distinguishes between whether I drank it or damaged it intentionally versus an accident happened. If an accident happened, so then I'm only liable to pay what it was at the time of the gzela. But if I damage it biyadayim, so then I'm chayev then. To pay what? Why? So the assumption is that there's a kinyan, even though I don't own the object, there's a kinyan geneva when I steal an object. And what is the shaychus of the kinyan if I don't own it? To be chayev onsen. So if an onus happens, it means something happens beyond my onus, and it doesn't even mean as opposed to pshia. It means onus as opposed to mazik biyadayim. So if an onus happens later, no, okay, so I stole your object and it was nanas, and therefore I have to pay the value of what I stole. But if I go and I actually damage the kavana, the object be'en, so then we look at it as if I had your object be'en, I was supposed to return it, instead I damaged it biyodayim. And therefore I'm chayv to pay its appreciated value now. And there are other cases also where you see the two tracks within whether you're looking from the perspective of Tashlumen or working with the perspective of Hachzaras HaGeneva because you don't actually own it. So they asked me the question, Daniel and Yadin, what would you be obligated to return the object? So I suggested the simple ukimta is that it means you damage the object subsequent by accident. So there's no, and the object is broken. There's no obligation to return the object because it doesn't exist anymore. And Mitzad Tashlumen, the chiyuv of Tashlumen goes back to the Shas HaGezela, not the way it is now. Because if it went the way it is now, even when the barrel was nenas, you'd have to pay full value now. The fact that you only pay the original value when it's nenas shows you that in the case of nenas, the Tashlumen goes back to the original Shas HaGezela. Now, once you say that, now how does that answer this question? The answer to this question is that once it comes time for it, you want to say it's always efshet to bring the thing back in. So my answer is no, because if efshet to bring the thing back in, you have to pay anyway.
You would have to pay anyway. I was wondering, like, for instance, like the hagba, could you either, right? It's efshet the haduri when you put it back down if you want, right?
So I want to suggest to you that, you know, if you want to make the case, if you want to make an ukimta, establish the case, is that you carry it into the Rishas HaRabim, and at the end of the process, the thing breaks. Memela. So it's, by the time, when the Malach of Shabbos is over, it's Yefshir Ladure. Although, that's a little true. I realize you're going to create complications, because if it breaks before I put it down.
Ladure can really, I think, protect both by the Shabbos and by the Mammon, whether that creates an achmir or there's a reason to make this distinction yet. I'm not sure if that's important.
Okay, fine. We'll put that discussion aside for the moment. But the bottom line is the Gemara. So, putting aside why the Gemara didn't ask that the first kasha, that the kasha the Gemara asked would not be a question according to the second lashon, the lishni boy matzi ladure. So, most of the Rishonim seem to think that it's just not a kasha against that lashon, just not. So, but the question is, if in fact it's possible, if akira is tzara chanocha, so why don't you say the same thing here? Why don't you say that tagba is tzara chotza because the akira is when you magbiat and the chotza and the chotza begins. And the geneva also is when you magbiat. Okay, so the Gemara answers, and we'll work out the details tomorrow. But just want to read the answer. Go ahead, Yadin. Hacha. Oh, so the Gemara's question is v'amai hacha nami. Right, because the tagba is the akira. Okay, so the Gemara is going to work out the details, and it may not work exactly this, but what is the answer of the Gemara, the bottom line? How does the Gemara answer the Kasha? Conceptually? Yes?
There was no intent during the Akira, so he's not hired.
That is true, but just in terms of more abstract, what is the Gemara's answer? Because?
Two things are bifurcated.
In other words, this Hagba was actually not the Akira. We were going to work out a case when the Ghana was Magbiat, he wasn't Magbiat initially Amanas Lahotzio, he was Magbiat Amanas for some other purpose, he's not Chayiv and then Hagba, that's not the Akira, something happens, and then later he does the Akira and then the Hanacha. So the Chiyuv Shabbos came completely before. Let's do the Chi of Geneva came completely before the Chi of Shabbos. So not only was it, if he'd wanted, he could have stopped, but on top of which, it wasn't even the Hagbah, the Kinyan Geneva took place, and then that wasn't the Akira, and then the Akira took place subsequently. And everything else that the Gemara is going to work out in that are really just working out the Pratim, and how do you get that? So these are, now the Gemara gets into a discussion of Dinei Hotzah. All right, so tomorrow we're going to read through that very quickly. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time unless there are parts that are truly necessary, and then we're going to come back and try to sort of just work on not finishing up tomorrow, but sort of focusing on this part of the sugya, which is really the essential part, the Kama Ibn Rabba Mine piece. Okay.